Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, from the world of Tiger to Photoshop to digital photography to 107.7 The Bone.
Wow.
All kinds of great stuff. The Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat Makers, a Tech Tool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X. You can check them out at micromat.com. Also brought to you by Otherworld Computing, the leaders in Macintosh upgrades. If you want to fix your Mac up, put a new processor in it, hard drive, memory, you name it, you can check them out at macsales.com. DVD XDV, the coolest software for getting content off a DVD onto QuickTime, iMovie, Final Cut Pro, iDVD. Check them out, dvdxdv.com. Also, Technosphere, the coolest place to get your Mac fixed in beautiful New York City. If you're in the East Coast in New York, Connecticut, Jersey, you need to get your stuff fixed, check out Technosphere. You can call them at 212-391-1570. Great guys. They're an authorized Apple service provider. They're also an Apple reseller, so you can buy computers from them, whatever you want.
It's nice to hear of some guys over in the East Coast who are doing this stuff, because we tend to be very West Coast-centric with our Apples, I think. I mean, there are a lot of Apple users out there, but
it is nice to have East Coast guys.
Yeah, we tend to talk about the West Coast guys, because obviously we live here, but I know somebody in Jersey who probably should buy a Macintosh, so when he does,
he should go to.
I'll
That's
send
your
him
buddy
there.
From Creative. Huh?
You know what? No comment.
Ooh, got you on that
one. He's going to love the shameless plug, though. So, one step closer in our quest to take over the world.
Yeah.
This weekend, I was a guest DJ on a rock station here in San Francisco, 107.7 The Bone. Yesterday, which was Friday, with Steven Seawood, he let me sit in for an hour, and I got to basically relive my junior high school years by playing Whitesnake and Def Leppard and Bon Jovi and... It was really cool. It was really fun. And, I was able to mention the show. So if anybody from The Bone has come over to check out Inside Mac, thank you and hello.
That's great. We love The Bone. I love all those
Steven
guys.
Seaweed's great, man. Yeah. He was like the very first person in radio I ever met, because I had this assignment when I was a sophomore in high school. And it was like, this is a shadow project. You need to contact somebody who you're interested in, following their profession. And most people were, like their dad was a doctor or they knew a fireman or something. And I call up this radio DJ. I'm like, hi, I'm in high school and I want to be on the radio someday. Can I interview you? He was really nice. And, I don't even want to say how many years ago, but here we are after a decade plus and still hanging out. So that's cool.
That is cool. Steven Seaweed rocks. Good stuff.
So what else we got going on today, Scott?
We have a very cool show lined up, actually. We have Ken's going to be doing the news next segment. I'm going to be doing a review on a Marware, Marware that makes bags and sleeves and a lot of iPods.
And not to be confused with Malware.
Right. I'm going to talk about their CEO Milano case. It's a leather handbag for the PowerBook.
Ooh, anything
very
leather.
Nice. Oh, this is nice. This is deluxe, brother. So we're going to talk about that in segment three. Then digital production buzzmeister Philip Hodges will be on. We're going to talk about Blu-ray. Some more studios now have accepted Blu-ray. There's even some music companies that have accepted Blu-ray now to put enhanced DVDs out. High def with, then there's this high def audio DVD deal. Then our first featured guest of this hour is going to be Colin Smith from Photoshop Cafe.
Very cool.
Big author, written tons of books on digital photography and Photoshop. So we're talking about Colin there. Next hour after that, an hour or two, we're going to have Matt Federoff. He's director of technology for the Vail School District in Arizona. These are the guys that took all the books away. There's no more school books in the whole school district. Everything's digital. There's projectors hanging from the ceiling in every room. Every student has a, an iBook. It's all digital.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And then Ken's going to do something with some sexaholic dudes, or is Ken a sexaholic?
A sexaholic?
Yeah, so Ken's going
to
be talking about that. And then, of course, in the second hour, our feature guest, Ben Wilmore, the legendary Ben Wilmore, Digital Mastery. So you can check all that out at InsideMacRadio.com. Next up, the best news in the back business with Ken Ray.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Show. This part of the Inside Mac Show is brought to you by Micromat. Check their stuff out at Micromat.com. Right now, let's roll into the week's overview of the best news in the Mac business, Ken Ray.
Thank you very much, Scott. No iTunes phone this weekend. OS X 86 video gets 86'd. And Sony starts using its Bean. We'll start with the rocker. Maybe. Another anticipated release date for the iTunes phone and another disappointment. TheStreet.com said last month that Motorola's Rocker, the phone developed with Apple that will include iTunes functionality, would be released at this weekend's V Festival in the UK. But The Street is backing off of that now, citing reports from Engadget and the UK's Inquirer newspaper that say that's not gonna happen. Many thought the two-day event featuring 57 bands would be the phone's launch pad, even though a Virgin Mobile UK representative said there was no plan to launch the phone at the V Festival a month ago. Motorola is keeping tight-lipped on when the phone will be released, though it does still stick to CEO Ed Zander's statements that the phone will be unveiled before the end of September. Will iTunes work on the upcoming N91 from Nokia? The answer is apparently maybe. The Economic Times out of India says, contrary to early reports, Finnish mobile phone giant Nokia has not struck a deal with Apple to include the popular music service on its upcoming multimedia phone. That does, however, not mean that you won't see an iTunes app on the phone at some point. According to the Times, Nokia said that because of the design of the new N-series phones, software developers could allow gadgets to use services like iTunes. Want to see video of OS X 86? Don't tell Apple. A report from Macworld UK says Apple Legal has forced the removal of links to videos showing the Mac operating system running on not Mac hardware. A French language Mac website says it received an amazingly aggressive email asking for the immediate removal of all links to the videos. The site says the links were originally included to support its report that hackers had managed to run the OS on non-Mac machines. If you're listening to me on an iPod, you might want to turn this part and everything you ever play on your iPod ever again down a notch or two. That's because Australian researchers say iPod owners face increased risk of tinnitus and other hearing problems. The site Pocket Lint out of the UK says Sydney's National Acoustic Laboratories found about 1 in 4 people surveyed were listening to their players at volumes similar to small power tools. Researchers tested random subjects from crowds in Melbourne and Sydney. Willing participants allowed test takers to place their headphones on artificial ears in order to measure the sound level. They also asked the subjects about their personal stereo use. Researchers warned that the effects of such prolonged listening may not be apparent for another several years. While it has a long way to go to be an iPod killer, the latest MP3 offering from Sony does have one thing other iPod competitors have lacked: a sense of style. iPod NN says Sony unveiled its new Walkman Bean MP3 player this week. The Bean is set to go head-to-head against the iPod Shuffle. Like the Shuffle, the palm-sized Walkman Bean comes in storage capacities of 512 megabytes and 1 gig, but it beats the Shuffle in battery life with a reported runtime of 50 hours. Reports say the Bean will cost £80, roughly $143 US for the 512, and £100, or roughly $179 for the 1 gig. It's expected to ship in the middle of next month. Does the newly merged Sprint Nextel have what it takes to be an iPod and iTunes killer? That depends on what people are willing to pay. The site Personal Tech Pipeline says a Reuters report, or cites a Reuters report, rather, that says the company will launch a mobile music download service before the end of this year. According to that report, Len Lauer, the company's chief operating officer, indicated that they might charge as much as $2 per song, just over twice the price of a song from Apple's iTunes. Lauer told Reuters customers are paying $2 now for shortened versions of songs as ringtones, so he does think that they will pay that amount for a full song as well, and the convenience of having it on a cell phone. The report says the company also plans to make a subscription service available. And finally, you may remember the band Sexahol from news stories earlier this year. They're the band that released their debut album on preloaded iPod Shuffles. Harnessing the marketing power of the technology again, the band has released their album Enjoy as a free dashboard widget. iPod Daily News says the free Enjoy widget album lets music fans listen to any of 12 songs from Enjoy whenever connected to the net. It also shows users lyrics and photographs from the CD. The Enjoy widget is thought to be the first widget album. Roger Quickly, lead singer and guitarist for Sexahol, says the band members are big fans of widgets. In a press release, Quickly says, quote, "We've tried thingamabobs, doohickeys, and whatchamacallits, and frankly, they're over. Have you ever tried to code a thingamabob lately? The Dealey Bop syntax is so 20th century." The full version called Full Enjoyment lets fans listen to the album without an internet connection. That costs $9.99, and I got a chance to talk to Roger Quickly yesterday. We will be talking to him later in the show about what they're doing, and that's your Inside Mac Week in Review.
I get it. So you're not really telling everybody you're a sexaholic. You're just a fan of the band.
You'll have to listen to the interview. You know, actually, I feel kind of bad. I felt kind of weird about interviewing them because I'm not familiar with their music. But the deal is I've known who they are for about 6 months now. They market themselves in a really great way. And that's the other thing I like. They're doing it all on their own, which we'll talk about in a bit.
That sounds familiar. Hey, you know, actually, I have an interesting story, you know, about this whole purported OS X hacks. You know, they call it the OS X86 kind of thing. So I don't know, you know, people who listen might remember that a couple times we had a caller by the name of Justin Nolan, who is a proprietor of a website called PDA Live. He's very active. He just bought his first Mac about 2 months ago. He's really happy with it. So sure enough, as these hack stories started to surface, the one name of the guy who did the hack was Justin Nolan. But it turns out, I finally had a chance to ask him last night, "Dude, did you hack your Mac?" And he's like, "No, actually, it's a different Justin Nolan." And he's like,
"Didn't you tell me though?" He said something like, "But it would be cool if it was me."
Yeah, but I think it's funny. I mean, like, I'm just wondering. I hope the poor guy doesn't end up getting in trouble because, you know, he's posting everywhere about, like, "Oh, I just got my first Macintosh and I love it so much." And then there's another Justin Nolan out there doing bad things.
Hits for his podcast are probably going to go up quite a bit.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I just think it's funny. So if there's another Laura Burstein out there who's doing something evil and wrong,
Just direct them to your site?
Sure.
That'd be kind of cool.
So you can take credit for it, right on.
So do we want to talk about the giant, like, live version of the Springer show that happened in Virginia earlier this week or not?
Oh,
dude, that is so
gosh.
Cool.
It was awful.
Nothing, honestly, like standing in line and peeing in your pants so you get an eye buzz.
I almost, for people who don't remember or didn't hear the story, which I mean, it made news around the world, Henrico County, Virginia school system decided to sell a bunch of used laptops from their students to the people of Henrico County. So they made iBooks, 4-year-old iBooks, available for $50, and it was like a Who concert. I mean, it just was mayhem the second that they opened the gates and let people in.
And according to the article, people were hitting each other over the heads with chairs.
Yes.
One woman admitted to soiling herself rather than give up her place in line, which my question was, if she knew she was waiting that long, why didn't she bring Depends or something? I don't know.
And the whole thing was just so ugly. It was so ugly.
For a $50 4-year-old computer, come on, people.
Yeah,
really.
But you got to consider that the demographics of that part of Virginia.
Oh, no. And, here we go again
and
with
really,
insulting
I mean,
people.
You know, a lot of people.
That makes sense, actually.
Can't, you know, hey, if you don't have the dough,
that's true. You
can get an iBook for $50, even though it's 4 years old, and you know that's all you can do for your kid or something, I'd stand in line and piss in my pants. Why not?
You have a kid?
Can you say that word on the air?
Pants?
Yes.
I love it, man. There's nothing like urinating on yourself for an iBook. We gotta love it. You gotta love the Apple, brother. If you're gonna go to that, it's great. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. Next up, we're gonna be talking about the Marware CEO Milano. Beautiful handmade case. Technosphere Solutions is your one-stop shop for all your Apple needs. Is your Mac unhappy, feeling sluggish, or just acting up? Send it to Technosphere. As an Apple-authorized service provider, they're licensed to fix your Mac as if it was sent directly to Apple. Want to buy a new Mac? Call Technosphere. They're also an authorized reseller of all products Mac. So call Technosphere Solutions and get all the help you need at 212-391-1570.
For the new millennium.
This
is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now at 800-490-0058. Or email us at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio Show. We talk about all things Macintosh, from dudes releasing their music on widgets to the kings of Photoshop and digital photography. But right now, this part of the Inside Mac Show is brought to you by Otherworld Computing. Do you want to upgrade your Mac? Put a new hard drive in it. Fix it up so you can do GarageBand goodies. Maybe new graphics cards so you can run Motion. Hey, they have everything you need. Check them out. www.macsales.com. So right now, our friends at Marware sent us this beautiful case called the CEO Milano. This is a leather shoulder strap type of, what would you call this? What type of case would you consider this to be? This is sort of like a brief, like a lawyer's bag.
It looks kind of like a cross between a messenger bag and a briefcase because it doesn't really open like a briefcase. You know, it kind of has the flap that goes over.
But not past the bottom.
Right,
like
exactly.
Like a regular.
It's beautiful. I was playing tug of war with Scott over the break, actually. Give me that. Oh, my gosh. It's beautiful. It doesn't come in red, though, does it?
Only in black.
Okay. Well, black's good, too. But, yeah, it's gorgeous. And tell me a little bit kind of about the features that this has.
Well, of course, it's all leather. It's all handmade. It's got a very cool... All the hardware on it is stainless.
Nice.
So it's got a very cool clasp on the front that's real stylish deal. It's got stainless hardware that holds the handle on the top. The buckles that are on the strap, everything's all stainless. So that's very cool. There's these little straps on the actual handbag strap itself that lets you put an iPod on. So there's like a little loop there.
Really?
So that's if you want to put an iPod case or something to sort on the strap while you were walking with it.
So it looks like you can put your iPod on the shoulder strap,
on
or alternately, you can detach the shoulder strap and carry it, you know, with the top handle. What I like about this, looking at the picture, is I love my Targus case, but the straps are really thin. So
yeah.
If I carry it for any long period of time, it starts digging into my shoulder. This looks like the strap is nice and thick, and it's padded.
It's thick, and it's padded, and it's got like an anti-slip neoprene type deal sewed into leather on the bottom.
And it's very, very comfortable.
It is. A nice case. I've been using it for the past, you know, week here, and it's cool. If you're like a full, you got to have everything with you and a geek tweaker and you got to have eyesights and all these other deals and adapters and plugs, that the bag's not really made for that. It holds a 17. Now, they make them in three sizes, 12, 15, and a 17. The one I've been using is a 17. Holds the PowerBook real nice. So there's room for some magazines or some papers or envelopes, that type of deal. If you're like a, you know, an ambulance chaser and you need to carry your papers in the court. That works cool. So, you know, you can do that deal. And there's room in the front. There's a couple pockets. One actual pocket's made to store an extra battery. But to get a bunch of stuff in there, you sort of have to pack it in. Because it's made, you know, this is a minimalist type case.
And this is how my case is as well. You know, what I find, and we've talked about this before, quite oftentimes the really, really sleek, sophisticated looking cases are very simple and very basic. So they look wonderful. But the downside is they don't always have a lot of room. Because, you know, if you think about it, if you get a big bulky bag with all the pockets and the zippers that everybody likes, you don't quite have the lines. So you kind of have either or. I mean, ideally, I mean, for me, I have one of each. You know, like I have my Targus case, then I have like a vinyl case with all the pouches and stuff for my casual days. Like I wear that with the jeans, but then
right.
I wear the Targus case with the skirt. So
well, this
so when you wear your skirt, you can bring this case.
Right. Well, this Milano is very cool. Like I said, it holds a PowerBook nice. There's some room for a couple magazines or paper folders in there. It'll hold an extra battery. There's room for the power brick. And it's what's interesting is the extra compartment, unless you really stretched it out, because it's sort of accordion-like, but to keep it slim and to keep the lines nice so the bag's not bulging, it's about the width of the power brick. So it'll hold a power brick, a mouse, an iPod. I don't know why I put a couple of little things in there, but it's a great bag, and it's got really clean lines to it. Like we said, this is definitely for some cat that wants to hop out of his Beamer or his SL500, like our buddy Jeff.
Yeah, because these range in price from about $180 to $200.
$200.
So
$200 for the 17-inch case, but, you know, it's very high quality, so I give it a 5-star Inside Mac review myself. I mean, it's the coolest case that I've seen for a PowerBook in a long time. You're listening to Inside Mac Show. Next up, Philip Hodges with the Digital Production Buzz. Do you manage a Mac network? Need some answers? The Mac Networkers Retreat is coming October 30th through November 1st through the Seascape Hotel on Monterey Bay in beautiful California. For 3 days, you'll learn about Tiger Server, directory services, security and internet, airport wireless networking, software tools, and much, much more from the top instructors and consultants in the business. For more information, go to www.macretreats.com. The Mac Networkers Retreat. It's half summer school, half summer camp, and a whole lot of fun.
Informal, informative,
in front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio Show. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, and right now we're going to be talking about some very cool new storage technologies. But first, the Inside Mac Show is brought to you by DVD-XDV. If you want to take anything off a DVD, MPEG-2, turn it into QuickTime, put it on iMovie, iDVD, whatever. Who knows what you want to use it for? It really doesn't matter. But the software will let you do it. I want DVD-XDV. Check it out. www.dvdxdv.com. Right now we're here with Philip Hodges, our digital production buzzmeister, and today we're going to talk about Blu-ray. How are we doing, Philip?
I'm doing fine, Scott. I'm not worried about losing my mind because I'm sure I've got it backed up somewhere.
I don't. See, that's the thing. I don't back up stuff.
Well, now you're going to be able to back up a whole lot more if either or both of these high-density discs get off the ground.
Yeah, what's up with this whole Blu-ray deal? I mean, JVC has their what is it, HDVD format?
Actually, JVC are in the Blu-ray camp. You're thinking of Hitachi and Toshiba and NEC, I'm sorry.
Okay, so...
They're the HDDVD guys.
Right, so there's been some news this week about Blu-ray. Tell us what's happened. I guess another studio's jumped on board, and it's starting to gain a little momentum, maybe?
Nothing better than a good war story. And this is a good war. We've got a couple more shells lobbed in favor of Blu-ray this week because they picked up Fox. Now, that's not a really big surprise because Fox have been on the board of the Blu-ray Disc Association for some time, but they hadn't formally committed to releasing Blu-ray discs until after Blu-ray announced their security and DRM, digital rights management measures, which we might talk a bit about later if we get time. But they also picked up Lionsgate and the Universal Music Group.
That's pretty big. I mean, Lionsgate's a pretty good independent studio, yeah?
Yep. So they joined Sony Pictures, Sony MGM, Disney, Buena Vista, ironically, Vivendi Universal Games. So we've got the Vivendi Universal Music Group, Vivendi Universal Games are in Blu-ray, but Universal Pictures are in the HD-DVD camp.
What kind of ignorance is that?
It's like a big company. Once you get into be a big company, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. The HD-DVD have got Paramount, Warner's, New Line, and Universal, as I said. So we've sort of got momentum going to Blu-ray now.
Now, does anybody have a Blu-ray drive that can be put into a consumer-type device, like, let's say, a PowerMac G5 or a FireWire case or something of the sort?
Not yet.
No one has a drive yet.
There are players in Japan, but they're still in the quite expensive area. We'll expect to see them mid-late next year. HD-DVD is supposed to have their first drive out before Christmas this year, and that was going to be a slam dunk for them because they were going to both be out first and there was going to have movies available. But Paramount, who were going to have those movies available, have said, well, yeah, 4 or 5 we're going to have available. So the early lead is probably not going to be that useful to the HD-DVD side.
Tell us about the DRM. Right now, there's on traditional DVDs, everybody's using, what, Macrovision, right?
Yeah. Well, and also the CSS is the more severe protection. That encrypts the content, so in theory you can't play it back. Now, of course, we all know that that was broken. So what they've done is they've declared support for a new format called Advanced Access Control System, AACS. And now both Blu-ray and HD-DVD are going to support this AACS. Not that I really like it, because you could put a rogue disc in and the checks home, which you've got to have always on internet, and it could just disable your player.
Wow. Hey, thanks, Philip. That was Philip Hodges. Check his show out every Thursday night at digitalproductionbuzz.com. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. Next up, Colin Smith. We'll be right back.
Dr. Mac Direct is a brand new service that offers troubleshooting, training, and technical support to Mac users. Dr. Mac Direct's expert technicians resolve your Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively. Dr. Mac Direct, on the web at www.drmacdirect.com or call toll-free 877-DR-MAC-4U. My name is Bob Dr. Mac Levitis, and I approved, wrote, and produced this message.
Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac
with Scott Shepherd.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio Show. This part of the Inside Mac Show is brought to you by Dr. Mac Direct. If you want to get your Mac fixed remotely, grandma's computer is broken, need help, they'll use their remote control mouse technology to fix it up. Check it out, Bob Levitis's Dr. Mac Direct at drmacdirect.com. Right now on the line with us, we have Colin Smith. Colin is the creator, the founder of Photoshop Cafe, one of the leading Photoshop and digital photography gurus in the world. He's got a couple brand new training CDs out. We're going to be talking about that, what he's up to. Colin, how you doing, brother?
Hey, Scott. How are you?
Good. So give our listeners a background. Who's Colin Smith?
Oh, well, Colin Smith is a guy who started off as a designer and photographer about 12 years ago and just decided to try and help a few people with some tips and tricks and stuff that I was finding trouble trying to find out myself, because back then in those days it was kind of hard to get a lot of information. And then out of that we launched a website, and then that took off, and currently right now we're number one position as far as the Photoshop websites. And then started writing a few books and doing a few training videos and just really just trying to respond to all the questions that people have been asking.
Yeah, it is crazy. I mean, you guys have a great site. You have, what, about 3 million visitors a month, huh?
Well, not quite 3 million a month. Probably about 150,000 a month.
That's a lot, though. I mean, for Photoshop stuff, that's huge. You've had over 3 million unique visitors to the site, though, so I think you're up there, number one, brother.
Yeah, actually, we're getting pretty close to 4 million now, but yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Now, with the site, you guys have a huge forums. I mean, this thing's monstrous.
Yeah, we're running, I think, about 8,000 members right now. But the good thing about the forums is that every single question gets answered. I mean, even if it's not Photoshop, it could even be 3D or Flash or even something around, you know, anything to do with computer graphics. And, you know, every question gets answered usually within a couple of minutes.
That is very handy. I mean, look, that's, you know, free support.
Yeah, and you know, I really want to give a shout-out to my moderators. I've got 9 moderators, and, you know, they're just excellent. And if it wasn't for them, you know, the forums wouldn't be anything like what they are today.
Yeah, that is good stuff. A great community you can go to actually learn this type of deal. So let's talk about, to start with, you got a couple brand new CDs out. These are CDs or DVDs?
One is a CD-ROM and the other one is a DVD-ROM.
Okay, so they both run on a computer, not on, you can't sit on the couch and watch them.
That's right. And the reason I'm doing that is just because of the resolution. Unless, you know, we go to high def, and at this point we're not really ready to do that because not everyone has a high def TV. So if you're watching it on a standard TV, the resolution is just not really sharp enough to read all the dialogue boxes and stuff. So we chose to do it on a computer where everything is crisp, you know, just like if you were looking at the program yourself on the computer. And in that way you can see all the dialogue boxes and all the options that we enter in there and make sure that everything is exactly the same when you're following along.
Sure. So let's talk about these two brand new products you got here. You have the first one is CS2 for digital photographers, right?
That's right.
What's all this get into? This explains, what is this different for CS2 versus digital photographer, and you're blending the stuff together. What's the difference in a regular CS2 training one and this one that's for digital photographers?
Okay, well, first of all, I just want to give a quick background on this. We did this one originally as a CS for digital photographers, and this is by far the most popular CD that we've ever done. I think we're into like a third printing of this one. So then what we decided to do is update it, and I sat down and I updated this and added about an hour and a half of new content just specifically for people working with images. Obviously, digital photographers are going to benefit the most. But in this edition, we really got into a lot of stuff in Bridge and some goodies with Camera Raw, you know, batch processing in Camera Raw, because that's something that's new in CS2. In the old days, you know, we would open a Raw image, process it, and then we could kind of copy the settings across to other images, but it was a little limited. But whereas now we can open multiple images in Raw, and just in a couple of clicks, we can share those settings across all the images.
Right, so maybe you can explain to our listeners, if you're you know, you're shooting in RAW, and let's say you want to do a white balance adjustment, you shot this whole group of pictures all at the same time or the same place.
Right, and you hit the nail right in the head. That's one of the great things about that. All you would do is just go in there, make the white balance adjustment to one image, perhaps use the you know, the point dropper tool or use the color balance tool, and then all you do is you just command-click every single one of the images. Actually, just hit Command-A and it'll select all the images, and then you can just copy those settings across, and in just a couple of minutes, actually not even that, a few seconds, that white balance will trickle through all the pictures.
Yeah, see, that is so handy.
Oh, yeah, saves a lot of time, saves a lot of work, yeah.
Okay, so we have the first one, CS2. This is all towards digital photographers, tweaks for doing white balance and crop factors and all the stuff you do for digital photography. Now you have another one that's very interesting. This is using Photoshop and a Wacom tablet?
Yes,
tell us about this.
You just let the cat out of the bag. That's the first time that this has actually ever been announced publicly.
Wow.
Yeah, this is a brand new video. It's actually went off to the factory this week. It's not even out yet, and this is going to be making its debut at Photoshop World. I'm very excited about this one. I had Weston Maggio from Wacom Technology. He's one of their main evangelists. He's managed to help out, and he offered quite a few tips and tricks on setting up the tablet. A lot of people, you know, just take the tablet out of the box, plug it in, and that's as far as they go. But there's so many amazing things that you can do on these graphics tablets. So many little tweaks and stuff, and you can set it up and personalize it. I know a lot of people use a tablet and then they give up because it just doesn't work right. If you watch Wes's videos, you're going to learn every single little thing about setting it up and making it work for you. And then I jumped in and I've done a few tutorials in Photoshop where we're taking use of all the pressure sensitive tools. We're doing things, you know, and I'm doing some lessons and stuff that just weren't possible to show with the mouse. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think it's going to make a lot of waves.
Yeah, I mean, this is great. Like you said, there's so many things you can do with the tablet, but like you said, most people, like even myself,
oh yeah,
rip it, shred the box.
Like some of the new tools just come out, actually, is the 60R pen, and in Photoshop CS2 for the first time, they offer pen rotation. And just little things like that where, you know, perhaps you're doing some grunging or you're doing some brushing with texture. Instead of going into the brush's palette and then adjusting the angle and then dabbing again and adjusting the angle and dabbing again, you can get this pen and just spin it around in your fingers and just save so much time.
That's very cool. No one has anything like this. This thing should do pretty good then. It'd be a great video.
It's a well-needed resource for a long time, I think.
Tell us, you're going to be here at Photoshop World coming up here, what, in about 3.5 weeks now, in 3 weeks or so, 3.5 weeks in Boston.
Yeah, it's coming up pretty soon. I'm looking forward to actually going to be up there with the Photoshop Cafe booth, and we're going to have all our new videos, the two we just talked about will be there, and some of the other ones and some of the other books will be there. And I'll also be happy to, you know, talk to people. I love meeting people from the cafe and also meeting people that I've never met before and just shooting the breeze with Photoshop.
Yeah, I mean, and you actually have some other stuff that's very cool. You have Photoshop and Dreamweaver integration. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's actually really taken off because that's another thing that no one's really done before. Is I wrote two books on Photoshop Dreamweaver integration and just released a DVD, but nobody has brought the two programs together, which is kind of curious because these are the tools that professional web designers use. As great as GoLive is as a program, Dreamweaver is way more popular and really is the standard. And Photoshop is the standard for image editing. So we've got a lot of people who can design and they can create these beautiful pictures and beautiful pages in Photoshop, but they don't know how to get it into Dreamweaver. So what this enables you to do is create a really good design, not, you know, not something cheesy, but something that looks really good. Then you can take it into Image Ready, optimize it, slice it, take it into Dreamweaver, and then when you're in Dreamweaver, you can turn this page into an entire website. You can optimize it so it downloads faster. You can add iframes, drop-down menus. We even cover e-commerce, everything in there. And it's amazing how easy it is once you know the workflow. So it's curious because this is the workflow that pretty much every professional web designer follows, but nobody's really addressed it before. So, you know, we've had some really, really good feedback from.
This is good stuff. And also, we'd like to congratulate you on your nomination for the 2005 Photoshop Hall of Fame. So that's very cool.
Well, thanks, Scott.
And you've won a couple Photoshop Guru Awards, too, I think, 2 or 3 years worth?
Yeah, yeah.
Yourself, as yourself as an artist, not even, you know, not even counting as a trainer or a you know, an author.
Right, yeah. That was, you won the first place for illustration 2 years in a row. And I haven't actually submitted any entries since then because I just felt because I'm doing a lot of writing for Knapp now, so I kind of don't enter the Guru Awards anymore.
Yeah, that's true. You want to, I guess, keep it separate, but... Like I said, everybody needs to go. How can they get more information, Colin, on your books, the DVDs, the videos, the training stuff, all the stuff you guys got cooking?
Okay, there's really two places you want to hit. The first place is PhotoshopCafe.com, which is the main website where we have all the resources and the forums and tips and tricks and tutorials and stuff like that. That's completely free, everything there. The other one is PhotoshopCD.com, and that's when we go into each one of the videos, and you can actually look at each page and see what's on the video and have a little preview of the interface and download a few free history video tutorials.
That's great stuff. So definitely check Colin's stuff out. It's a great resource. Colin, I really appreciate you being with us, and we'll see you in a couple, 3 weeks here in Boston.
Hey, see you soon, Scott.
Take care, buddy. That was Colin Smith. You can go to photoshopcafe.com. There's tons of information that's buried. There's so many tutorials and training and tips. And like you said, the forums are huge. They have 8,000-plus members, and it's a great resource, and it's free. Check it out, photoshopcafe.com. We'll be right back.
Your PowerMac G-Force never let you down. It still gets the job done, but it doesn't seem very fast anymore. Well, make it new again with extreme G-Force speed from top-rated OWC Mercury Extreme G4 upgrade. Turn 9 in a day with blazing G4 2MB Level 3 cache. Extended speeds up to 1.467 GHz. 100% compatible with all your software and Apple's OS versions, including macOS 10.3 Panther. It's just plug and play to make that Mac new again. Check it out at www.macsales.com.
Macintosh for the new millennium.
This
is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now
at 800-490-0058
or email us
at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, and we've been taking a look at it today. We've had Colin Smith on, Photoshop guru. This guy is an incredible illustrator. He won this Photoshop Guru Award. He drew this Ibanez guitar. You have to look at this picture. This thing looks like it's a photograph, all done by hand.
Because the Stratocaster is made by Fender.
Yeah, I know Fender's a Strat, okay. But this is an Ibanez.
Okay, that's what I have, actually.
Yeah, he did this great thing. You go to Photoshop Cafe. It's right on the front. You can check it out. It's just these guys are cool, and Colin's really fun to hang out with and party to. He's a crazy cat.
So Boston's not going to be safe next month. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. He's not a speaker, so it might not be safe. I was with him in Orlando, stuck in the hurricane for a couple of days. He got out.
Last year. Wow. Yeah. I forgot about that.
You know what's funny? This guy's guitar, I think, is the exact same guitar that I have, except instead of the sliders for the pickups, I actually have the individual switches.
We should get him to do a portrait of your guitar.
In fact, he's got a locking Floyd Rose tremolo on his as well, which basically, you know, like the whammy bar. I don't know if you guys know this. The whammy bar on the guitar is the thing that kind of makes it go wow, 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 you know. So the Floyd Rose, what that does is it locks the strings. So when you use the whammy bar, it doesn't throw the guitar out of tune. The thing is when you change your strings, there's a certain way to set the bridge because the bridge is a rocking bridge. It's not, you know. Stable like a normal guitar without it. So I just got these new strings at Guitar Center, and it's been so long since I played my guitar. I got the strings in, but I can't tune it because I forgot how to set the bridge so it doesn't rock while you tune the guitar. So maybe in addition to Photoshop training, he can help me with my guitar strings.
I'm so embarrassed to say.
It's like, I got this guitar. I'm like, I got to have the Floyd Rose.
There we go. Anybody listening that can help Laura tune her guitar and set the bridge? Email her at radio@insidemac.com. We'll make sure she gets the personal instructions she needs.
So anybody in the Northern
California Bay Area that's a rock, we should hook her up with the guys from the Rock and Roll Geek Show, Michael Butler.
Michael could probably do it. Yeah.
They could rip the axe out, dude, and get some Marshall stacks going with some whammy pedals and just do some crazy hard grind.
I love when you guys geek out about the same thing. That's my favorite part. I know nothing about what you're talking about now. I know nothing about Photoshop. I'm waiting for something I know about to come on, you know. Around that I can hop on.
What do you want to talk about?
No,
Ken?
I don't want. I'm happy.
Ken wants to talk about his Star Wars underwear.
I'm happy that you guys are happy, and I don't have Star Wars underwear.
What are they?
I have a pair of shorts. Why did I even tell you about that? I don't even know why I would tell you about
that.
How old are you?
Henry is
30
something.
I'm 30.
And he wears Star Wars underwear every day.
Okay.
Is there a picture of Darth Vader on the butt?
Of course there is. What good is underwear that doesn't have a picture on it? I don't understand you. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that at all. We could talk about.
What is Laura wear? Hello Kitty ones?
That's an excellent idea.
You know,
that we can talk about
off
air.
If my mother wasn't listening, I'd tell you the answer to that question.
Finally, an exciting thing for me. Here's an exciting thing for me.
Yeah, what's
Star
that?
Wars Lego is coming out. Finally, they've shipped.
Dude, that looks
they've
so
shipped.
Cool.
It's ready. I can't wait.
And that makes me the biggest geek on the planet.
But he's gonna sew on
little hooks to his Star Wars shorts so he can walk around with them dangling off there.
All right.
But, you know.
Oh, that's all cool. But, yeah, like I said, you know, Collins Deal's great. He's a, it's a great, you know, he's a great instructor, too. I don't know why he's not teaching the Photoshop world, but probably because he's man in the booth. But they have some great stuff, and their CDs aren't very expensive either, like $40 or $50. You know, a lot of these guys charge $100+, so, you know, that's cool. And the second part of the Inside Mac Show coming up here in the next hour, we're going to have Matt Fedoroff, the guys from the Vail School District in beautiful Arizona, talking about the Macintosh rollout where it's all, you know, it's all computers now. No more books, none of that stuff. So, hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying?
Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, from digital photography to you name it. We review the coolest products. We talked about the Milano review, a 5-star rating at Inside Mac, a beautiful handmade leather bag. Beautiful stuff. We got the digital production buzz from Philip Hodges. We talked about earlier in the first hour about Blu-ray and the new studios that are taking on. It looks like Blu-ray is going to step on the HDV deal, so we'll see what happens there. Of course, we had Colin Smith, one of the gurus of Photoshop from Photoshop Cafe, talking about all the stuff he's got cooking up there. We had news from Ken. We've been talking about all kinds of great stuff. Star Wars underwear.
Just don't. Prefra,
a cornucopia of good stuff.
Good stuff, yes.
Good stuff. Right. And the second hour here, we're going to have Matt Fedoroff. He is the guy from the Vail School District that implemented all these Apples and all their stuff now, their high school deal. All the high school people in Vail District.
Yeah.
All digital, no books.
No books.
Even the teachers, they have projectors mounted in the ceilings. There's like hundreds of hotspots. It's all 802.11 Wi-Fi. There's no books, nothing. It's all electronic. Everything. High tech.
Do you want to do pros and cons of that really quickly?
So my question for him would be, like, how do kids study if they don't have any books to bring home?
You take your laptop and read the stuff as a PDF, some kind of electronic document. I'm sure McGraw-Hill and all these guys that make textbooks,
yeah.
Pearson Education, all these guys,
yeah.
It's all electronic format now.
I would imagine.
Everything. So what's the bad part of it?
You can't take it with you wherever you go.
You can take your laptop with you wherever you go.
Because Ken Ray doesn't go anywhere without his power.
Yeah, but then, you know, your kid will get mugged.
You see, that was actually my thing, is the downside is if you drop your laptop, you've lost all of your textbooks. You've lost all your work. You've lost everything.
Yeah, what happened to writing in the margins? Like, Johnny was here, 1995.
I don't know. We'll have to ask Matt about that. You know, he's
the top.
Director of technology for this whole deal. We'll have to see about...
It's a really exciting thing. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, nope, it'll never work. I'm just saying my one concern is it's sort of the all eggs in one basket thing.
Yeah, well, they have a way now that if a laptop goes dead, or a kid erases something or something happens,
yep.
They can completely reinstall all the software on the laptop in 12 minutes, remotely, through 802.11 or some way.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
But I wonder if they're doing backups. And what if little Johnny's using this thing to surf porn?
Now, you see, wouldn't that be neat, actually, if we start teaching kids, like in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth grade, to start backing up your data? So that by the time they get to be your age, my age, they're just automatically backing stuff up? I've never backed up a thing.
I do. You know, I really back up my...
Except those Star Wars shorts.
Knock it off.
Sorry.
I back up in those. It's different. Go ahead. You were saying?
Just my Entourage database, my mail database is really important.
Yeah.
So I make sure I do that about once every 4 months.
On my handspring visor, I had about 400 addresses that I'll never get again. And they're all gone now. Let the batteries die one day, went back, had to hard restart it. It's all gone. The computer that I used to back it up to was in another state. That's gone too. I got nothing anymore. I should have backed it up. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you know, you should back your stuff up. That should be an automatic deal. And you know what works really well is Apple's .Mac backup software. You get a .Mac account, and they make some software. You say, okay, I want to back up my email addresses, my address book, you know, this and this. And you click a button, and it's automatic. Pretty cool stuff. But you got to be a .Mac member.
How much is that? Do you
well,
remember?
It's usually $9.99 a year, but I think if you can get it for like $69, you go online from like buy.com, has it for like $60, $70. $70.
I know people. A lot of people say if you're a true Mac fan, you have a .Mac account, and I actually have not gotten one either.
I have one. I bought it when I got Tiger because I had to have Tiger now. I didn't want to wait for Apple PR to send me a freebie, so I bought it the day it came out, and they gave a $30 discount on .Mac when you bought Tiger.
It's good.
And I had it before. I had a free account that Apple gave me, you know, when they started out with it. It's cool.
What's nice, too, about it is you can get the, you know, the little iChat account with it as well.
Yeah, nice. You can do that, too. I don't know. I mean, it's just...
I use it.
I have servers and backup stuff, and I don't need .Mac, but it is cool. And I think for, you know, for what you get out of it, it's worth the dough. It's just for backing your goodies up.
You don't have to buy a server.
Right.
And maybe Ken can put his address book in his Star Wars shorts.
Well, sometimes,
on your,
you know,
server.
They have these promotions. They might actually come with a pair of Star Wars shorts, maybe. You never know. You're listening to the Inside Mac Show. Next up, Matt Fedoroff, Vail School District in beautiful Vail, Arizona. We'll be right back.
Hey, have you seen the latest issue of Macworld?
Not yet, but it might be in my mailbox today.
Wait till you see it. It's got the best reviews on those hot new products you've been raving about. I just love looking at all the new stuff. Sometimes I wish Macworld came twice a month.
You know, you can always find the latest stuff on their websites. That's what I do when I can't wait. Just go to Macworld.com.
Oh yeah, I gotta remember that. Macworld.com has all the latest reviews, plus archived product info from back issues. That way, I can get my Mac fixed when I need it.
Yeah, and don't forget, you can also compare the current prices on Macworld Product Finder and find out the latest Mac news at MacCentral.com. They've got enough to satisfy even the most avid Mac lover.
www.macworld.com. Find everything you need to know and more right now.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, and this part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by the National Association of Photoshop Professionals, the leading industry resource for, of course, Photoshop. Check them out, photoshopuser.com. Right now, we're joined by Matt Fedoroff. He is the Director of Technologies for the Vail School District, and they just rolled out a brand new thing at their high school where they've gone completely digital, all Macintosh. How are we doing, Matt?
Doing very well, sir. Thank you for having me on.
No, thanks for joining us. Now, give us a little background here. You've been in the Director of Technology for the Vail School District for the past 7 years. You've been 15 years in public education. You spent 8 years as a high school science teacher. You're an Apple Distinguished Educator. You've been using the Mac since 86. What's new with what you guys have done? You've gone completely digital here.
Yes, that's correct. Other schools over the past 3 or 4 years have done one-to-one implementations. And when we say one-to-one, we mean one computer for every student, one laptop for every student. With our new high school, we knew we wanted to do that. We wanted to try that out. But it suddenly became clear to us that we wanted to take it another step further and say, well, why do we still have the traditional teaching materials, the same things we've always used, when now we could simply dispense with those and go completely through the laptop?
So now let's start off here. Now this is for this is a brand new high school.
Brand new high school.
You got what, about 600 students?
Yeah. When it's finally done, we're still building it, and we have kids in it at the same time. We're the fastest growing school district in Southern Arizona. In my 7 years here, we've gone from 3 schools to 13 schools, and we've tripled our number of students. And so this is our third high school, and it has about 350 students now. It's about half completed. Next year, we'll open it up completely with about 700 students. And we realized, since we started this about a year ago, that we had a bare patch of dirt. In every other one-to-one implementation that you may have heard of, like in Maine or in Rico County or whatever, they basically went into an existing school or an existing system and said, okay, we're going to put laptops here, kind of like icing on a cake or, you know, kind of a glaze. And we said, we've got a bare patch of dirt. What would we do if we actually wove this kind of instruction into the DNA of the building? So we worked with the architect and the contractor. We had radio propagation studies. We did all sorts of things to actually wrap in the construction of the building what you would do for laptop instruction all the time.
Now you have 157 access points all across the building.
Yeah, that's correct. They are the Cisco WLAN. They're intelligent access points. And what's interesting is, first off, we put the Ethernet drops for them. They're actually above the ceiling. They're above the ceiling tile, so they're completely invisible in the room. And there's two in every classroom. And these intelligent access points actually communicate with each other, and they change channels, and they adjust their power output so that they don't interfere. And they load balance, meaning that if one has, say, 35 kids and the one in the next room has 3 or 4 kids, they actually will pass clients back and forth so that they're equally distributed. And then if one fails, the others nearby will actually increase their power output and go in and pick up those clients that are orphaned, so that we create this kind of seamless fabric across the school so the teachers basically can concentrate on instruction. They're not fiddling with the laptop to make it work.
Wow.
It's really amazing stuff. It's so far beyond just sticking an airport. It's really wild. For us here, we've actually had to really tool up our skills and get up to date on this stuff.
Now, a student goes in, they register for school, they're issued a laptop.
That's correct.
Here it is. Are all the textbooks they used to use now all in PDFs? Have people like McGraw-Hill and these other book companies like Pearson made these things in some kind of digital format with a special reader? How do they actually get their the stuff they would read in textbooks, it's on the iBook?
Well, see, this is where it really begins to be what we call transformational, or what in the industry they call disruptive technology, because in truth, the whole textbook metaphor, the way that you and I went to high school, the way that we pretty much, high school hasn't changed in 100 years. Students 100 years ago, they came to a modern high school, they would find the fashion and the slang difference. But in going from class to class to class, it wouldn't feel any different to them.
No.
And the process of textbooks, we dispensed with that entirely. And basically what happens, how you make a textbook you have to write a textbook that will appeal to as broad a cross-section as possible. And really, there's two markets that drive it, Texas and California.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, they have the largest adoptions.
Right.
And so the textbook manufacturers aim for those two states, and they try to aim for, and you know, if you try to create a product for as many people as possible, you tend to aim low. And also, these textbooks are put together by teams of committees. Most American textbooks are just poured over by to remove anything that would be at all vaguely offensive to anybody, because you want, of course, sell them to as many people as possible. So what you're left with at the end of this textbook production is really just kind of a mush. It's kind of like an academic small talk. It's light and shallow, and it doesn't really mean anything. So that metaphor was broken. What the iBooks let us do is break through that. And what we provide for our teachers is a mix of free and subscription-based services. We actually have premium content that we pay for companies that specialize in doing just one or two things really well. Like we have American history content from ABC Clio, and they do a really good job with original source documents. You want to read the Declaration of Independence? It's right there. You want to read the Confederate Constitution from before the Civil War? It's right there. And what it lets us do is almost like a la carte. We pick the best, the premium, the most applicable, and our teachers can then use that with the kids right away.
Hey, Matt, you know, one of the things we hear as taxpayers, especially here in California, is that there isn't enough money out there for schools. I mean, what kind of funding? Where is all the money coming from for this?
Well, it costs about, at least here in Arizona, it costs about $650 to buy 4 years' worth of textbooks for a student for their four-year enrollment. And the iBook comes out to about $850, and we got a pretty decent model with half a gig of RAM and a three-year extended warranty. And so it's more expensive there. We make up some in that we don't have the storage, the overhead, the handling charges that go with textbooks and whatnot. And truthfully, we have to figure out that. We have this first year underway. We're optimistic for future years. But basically, to break through the metaphor, we had to set aside all of our expectations and set aside how we did things. And what we hope is that over time, with economies of scale and as this new model is adopted, that the costs will come down, as they do usually in technology, costs come down, and that we'll be able to adopt that more widely.
And how are parents reacting to this? Do they think it's a great idea, or they would just rather their kids have regular old books?
The nice thing about Vail is that for our three high schools, we don't have attendance boundaries, meaning that if you live here, you must go there. We have three high schools, and each are completely different, and so this is a school of choice. The students and their parents opted in. They said, I would like to go to Empire. We have some parents who send one child to one of our other high schools, and they send a child to Empire. And so our parents are thrilled. Parents' night was absolutely a joy. There were a whole bunch of, obviously, parents, and the kids were there, and it was just such a pleasure. They were so delighted to be part of this, even though they know it's an experiment. And their expectations, I'm not sure if the school's going to turn out a bunch of Rhodes Scholars, but they have the sense that we really are trying to do something better. We're trying to reimagine what education should look like.
Yeah, I think with the content you have, the premium content and all the stuff that you're doing is going to be a lot better for, you know, to push a kid out into reality. Some textbook that was created for whatever somewhere else, then who knows what.
Exactly. I mean, our community, Vail, has expectations about what we want our kids to know, and I think every community feels that way. If nothing else, it returns a great deal of the autonomy and the local control back to a district.
Matt, if other educators want to get a hold of you to see what you guys done, maybe get some information from you guys, is there a way that someone can contact you as an educator and maybe find out more information on what you guys are doing there in the Vail School District?
Absolutely. They can go to our website.
Okay.
Which is www.vail, that's V-A-I-L, .k12.az.us. And there's, you'll find on that website, find contact information. You'll find a link to the school, the Empire School website. You'll find my contact information there. Absolutely welcome. We want to be as transparent about this as possible, both the successes and the failures.
Great. Thanks, Matt. I really appreciate it. That was Matt Fedoroff. Definitely check their deal out, or you can email me at radio@insidemac.com. We'll be right back.
Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. Right now, Ken Ray.
Wow, I thought there was more there. The band Sexahol is a do-it-yourself PR machine that's very Mac-centric. I got a chance to talk with frontman Roger Quickly yesterday about what they're doing. Actually made news earlier this year with an album release, and we'll get to that in a minute. But the big news this week has been the widget for Enjoy, thought to be the first widget album ever. Talk to me about how that came about.
We've been playing with Dashboard for a little bit, and it seemed like everyone was sort of making iTunes controllers. We were thinking, well, it doesn't really replace that sort of feel of a real CD. And people had asked us, because we just got on iTunes Music Store, do you have lyrics? And, you know, it's like, it seemed like it would be a good way to sort of package everything up and a real convenient way to sort of distribute things digitally, because pretty much people check the Apple site, and so this would give you contact people that you wouldn't get contact with.
Now, when you say you've been playing with Dashboard and you've been playing with Widget, you're not kidding. I mean, you guys didn't go out and hire somebody to do this. You built it yourself?
Absolutely, yeah. We're geeks. Don't tell anybody, you know. Yeah, no, I've been playing with computers since I was a kid, and Dashboard's really easy. I mean, because we do our own website as well, so since it's all really just a web page, it wasn't that hard to sort of put it together. Although, for the harder things, we've employed little widget elves to do the hard work inside the program.
Tell people the difference really quickly between the free widget and the paid widget.
The free widget lets you stream songs off of a QuickTime streaming server that we set up ourselves. The paid version actually bundles the entire content into the widget. So it's a single download with the widget and with the songs. So that way, if you want to be able to move your songs onto different computers as many times as you want, they don't have to be authorized for iTunes. And then, of course, if you want to play them from iTunes, we give you instructions basically to drag the folder that's inside the widget into your iTunes folder, and then you can play the songs there too.
It's not just about the technology. I mean, you guys are using this technology to get yourselves out there. I've listened to a bit of Enjoy. Who are your influences musically?
A lot of Beatles. So sort of the harmony thing, I think, might be Beach Boys or Beatles. You know, the other people who we really like are Garbage. I think, I don't know how many of the songs you had a chance to listen to. One of the things that they sort of do is they break up the sonic space or the production within a song to different styles, which actually is something Public Enemy did way, 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 way back. And then we're sort of Nine Inch Nails fans as well, because Trent Reznor is pretty much a do-it-yourself guy. And he also, you probably know this, he released one of his songs from the new album as a GarageBand
right
kit. So that whole use of Mac technology and sort of getting it out to people to play with it, we think is great.
Let's go back to Mac technology really quickly. The first time I heard of you guys was doing news for Inside Mac. I came across the fact that you guys released your first album on iPod Shuffles. How did that go?
Well, you know, I like to say in terms of publicity, it was absolutely great. We didn't expect to sell a huge amount to people who didn't know us, because obviously it's a lot of money out of pocket for somebody who's just heard of us. But we actually sold about 3 times more than we thought to people we didn't know, so that was great.
Am I right? I mean, it was like $10 over the price of the, I mean, basically you were making...
We were giving it away.
Right.
We give it away. We're sluts.
But, right, well, that... Well, with a name like Sexahol, what can you do?
Oh, no, that just means six.
Oh, is that
right?
Yeah,
no, it has nothing to do with... No, it's a big confusion.
You're in L.A., right?
Yes.
Do you guys get around Northern California outside of L.A. area?
You know, we haven't been traveling a lot. What we're trying to do with our shows is actually make them more sort of like party events. And so at this point, we don't really have the resources to drag around the go-go girls and the... and the masks and the chocolate fountains. So,
okay.
But we hope to do that at some point, you know, in our fantasy. You know, we'll have this circus wagon that rolls into town with all these Cirque du Soleil freaks. And the parents run to lock up their children so that the kids don't see what the parents are doing when they come see us.
Well, I would think you would want to make it up to San Francisco at some point, because this is a town that really loves sixes. It was
sixes.
Right? Roger, quickly, of the band Sexahol, look for the widget online. Roger, thank you very much for joining us today.
You're very welcome. You have a great day.
You're listening to Inside Mac Radio. We'll be right back.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California, is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Informing.
Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Mac World Magazine, the Mac product experts. If you want to learn all the cool stuff about your Mac, you can check them out at macworld.com. And, of course, Technosphere Solutions, the coolest cats on the East Coast to get your Mac fixed. They're an Apple-authorized service provider. They're also a, an Apple reseller. And they're also part of the Transbeam Corporation. So if you need anything from phone stuff to getting your Mac fixed, these guys are cool. They're in New York City, like on 39th Street, downtown, right in the muck of it all. Great stuff. You're in Jersey, Connecticut. You can just cruise on the train in and get your goodies fixed. You got to love it. Check them out at TKSSOL.com, or you can go to TechnosphereSolutions.com.
You know, last week I was mentioning that I was looking for some equipment to be able to do my own little recording stuff at home, Scott, and I tell you, I'm really learning a lot. I mean, first of all, you have a couple different schools of thought. On two different things. I mean, one is there are people who are kind of old school, like Ken, and they like to use a mixing board and do everything during the production real time. You know, you get a 12-channel board so you can control all your tracks and everything while it's going into your computer. So, you know, you tweak it a little bit once it's done, but then you essentially have the finished product by the time you're done recording. And then there are other people who say, oh, just get an M-Box and then tweak everything in post using Pro Tools. So that was the first hurdle for me to get over. And I have to admit, I opened up Pro Tools, and for what I'm doing, it looked a little bit daunting. So I think I'm going with a mixing board. But see, then once you decide that you want to get the mixing board versus, you know, doing Pro Tools, you have to decide, do you want something that's going to be really, really high quality for a musician? I know some of my buddies in the music industry are like, yeah, you got to get a top-of-the-line Mackie Onyx 12-channel, blah, 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 which is a lot more expensive. And then there are other people who are like, nah, you know, you're just doing broadcasting. It's only AM. It's only online. So just get the $100 USB board. It's weird, you know?
I don't know. I mean, personally, myself, I go the inbox route. I would rather do everything in post with some really high-end software and be able to tweak stuff exactly perfect. You know, when you're doing stuff real time.
Yeah, but that's the way you go. I mean, that's, I mean, you're, and I mean, you no offense, because I am too, but in a different way, but you're a geek.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a geek about that kind of thing. Where you're, and I'm not saying that somebody in the room couldn't pick it up quickly, but I mean, where you're trying to get somebody to a point where they're just going to, where they can go ahead and get it in and really learn it and know it. I personally am a bigger fan of knowing that what I'm saying and what I'm hearing in my headphones is what's going into the computer.
But here's what I think. Right. I think this is indicative of a paradigm change. And when I was at the Bone yesterday, I was talking to Stephen Seaweed about it. I'm like, hey, what do you think? He's like, well, you know, most of the guys who I know now, they do everything on Pro Tools. But I think they're really, from what it sounds like to me, being kind of a neophyte in this whole thing, there is really a division from kind of the old dyed-in-the-wool audio engineers who learned everything on a board with dials and switches and buttons. And then there are people who are very digital. You know, they just want to get the file in there and then they just want to tweak everything on this virtual interface. So it's really interesting to me to see sort of this, these kind of two camps.
For what you need, I would get like a Behringer board. You can get a Behringer board for like $40. Get yourself an XLR cable for 10, 15 bucks. Get a decent microphone. That's what you want to do. Spend some money on a mic. And then you can plug the Behringer board with a HOSA cable into the side of the PowerBook, and you can run Peak Express and record it in Peak and do your edit, and you'll be flying and styling. And you can still tweak knobbies and move some levers. And you can do the deal for a cheap. I mean, I think you can do the whole hardware deal for less than a C-note.
See, I'd rather do a little bit higher quality at the source.
But I bet you don't hear the difference, though.
We'll see. I'll have you.
You're listening Inside Mac. We'll be right back.
Listen to the digital production buzz of what's happening now and in the future. Production. Post-production. Distribution.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Digital production buzz. Live 6 p.m. Pacific Thursdays. DigitalProductionBuzz.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Layers Magazine. If you want to know about all things Adobe, that's the place to go, layersmag.com. Right now I'm joined by my buddy Ben Wilmore. How are we doing, Ben? Hello, Ben. Where is Ben? www.whereisben.com. Ben's out in the ether somewhere. Is he?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hey, there you are.
Sorry, we got a big storm up here in the mountains. There's hail, lightning, thunder, all the good stuff.
Oh, my. Well, hey, we're here with our buddy Ben Wilmore. Ben, tell us what you've been up to since the last time we talked. You got a bunch of new stuff going on. You got this new Photoshop Insight deal going. There's a bunch of stuff cooking with Ben.
That's right.
Well, tell
us. First off, today I'm announcing, in fact, it's been available for a total of an hour because I planned it to announce it here on the show. I have something new called Photoshop Insight Injections.
Whoa.
And they are short tips and techniques that I'll feature on my blog that are illustrated. And the first one is a rather nice one because it includes a free script that you can install into Photoshop. And it allows you to take a raw file from a digital camera and open it in a special way in Photoshop, what's known as a smart object. And that process used to be about a 4 or 5 step process, and with this new script that's available on my blog, it's a 1 step process. And working with a smart object allows you to actually embed a raw file inside of a layered Photoshop file, where you can get it back later on, or you can double click on it and get back to the camera raw dialog box, do a whole bunch of things.
Wow, that is very cool. So this script actually lets you take a raw file, turns it into a smart object, then you just open it up in Photoshop. Now, is this only CS2, Ben, or is this a work in CS1 or just CS?
No, just CS2. Okay. Smart objects were introduced in that version. But there's a step-by-step tutorial there that shows you what you can do with smart objects, how you can, like, use two different sets of of raw settings to open an image. So you have maybe one that makes the sky look good in a picture where you make the image look overly dark, and then a second interpretation of the exact same raw file where maybe the foreground looks better. And then you can combine the two together in one file, and it shows you the idea on the blog.
Now, the blog is whereisbin.com?
That's right.
So everybody go check that out because you have a ton of great stuff up there. And then also your main website is digitalmastery.com.
That's right.
And there's even more stuff up there, too.
Yeah, digitalmastery.com is where you find out all about all my books and videos and seminars and things. And my blog at whereisbin.com is where so far I've put in a daily entry about Photoshop or technology or whatever it is I'm interested in.
Talking about books, you got a brand new one, Photoshop CS2 Studio Techniques. This is an Adobe Press book.
That's correct. This is a book that I've had. The first time I wrote this book was for Photoshop 5, and then for every version after that, I've revised it. And just the other day, a matter of, I think it was 2 days ago, I finally received my author copy straight from the printer, which means it should start heading to bookstores soon. And this new version contains two brand new chapters. There's one on adjustment layers that shows you how to really get the most out of them and to adjust your image in the most versatile way. And the second one is on workflow. So if you've ever wanted to know what order you should do things in, should you do color correction before you adjust the brightness, or should you sharpen the image when, it tells you the exact order I do things in and, more importantly, why. And those are the two new chapters. Other than that, the whole book's been updated for CS2, and I'm rather happy with it.
That is very cool. Now, also, you have a PDF available that indicates new and familiar things in CS and CS2. Where's this at, Ben?
Well, on my website at digitalmastery.com, if you go to digitalmastery.com and then afterwards put a /, and then CS2, as in Photoshop CS2, you'll find a free PDF there, and what it does is it tells you what Adobe has done with all the features that used to be in Photoshop CS that they've in some way changed in CS2. So if you're just upgrading to CS2 and you're confused because you can't find some old feature you used to use, this document tells you exactly where all that stuff has been moved or changed or just replaced.
That is quite handy, and it's free, too.
That's right.
Yeah, that's all good. Now, well, let's talk about some conferences here in a minute, but I want to check on the transition of your mobile living and work environment. Why don't you tell everybody what you're up to, because this is such a cool thing. I would love to do this so bad.
Yes. Well, right now my house is up for sale, and it's been up for sale for a little while, but I just lowered the price, and I've had many showings now. In fact, I had two of them today. And once the house sells, I'm going to be selling most of my material possessions, and I'm going to be moving full-time onto a bus. It's like a fancy RV, although it's not like a normal one in that it's literally a commercial bus that's been converted into an RV. And I'll end up traveling the country. I'll be able to drive to maybe about a third of the seminars that I present. In between seminars, I'll be taking photos at national parks and visiting small-town America and checking everything out. And I'm committed to do that for at least 2 years.
Wow. Now, can you get the bus to pretty much everywhere you're teaching, or is it just not really worth it because dates you have to actually fly to some of the gigs?
Yeah, I'll still have to fly to, you know, I'm guessing two-thirds of my seminars, because if I wanted to drive to a mall, I mean, I'd be driving myself ragged. I mean, it'd be constant driving. So I'm going to try to arrange them a little bit more on a regional basis so I can drive to more of them, but I'll still have to fly to a good portion of them.
Right.
So I'll be heading down to Nashville in 2 weeks to look at buses, and because there's not very many around here in Colorado. And I've been slowly liquidating my possessions and getting ready for the transition.
Isn't that so cool that you can take everything you own and put it on the bus and you don't have to worry about storage and furniture and closets full of garbage? And it just sounds so cool.
I'm really looking forward to getting rid of all this junk that I've accumulated over the years that I don't really use. And just getting down to what you really need. And you'd be amazed at how much storage there actually is on a bus.
Oh, all the undercarriages? I mean, people put Harley Davidsons in there and barbecues and golf carts.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're going to get, like, what, a Prevost or an MCI or some?
I'll be getting, there's two kinds of them. One has more like fiberglass on the outside. And the one that I would be getting is polished stainless steel from bottom of the bus up until the windows. So it looks like a Greyhound bus for the most part, that kind of thing.
Wow. Now, Why Nashville? Just because there's a lot of country music people there, and there's a lot of excess inventory, and people buy new buses all the time, and...
Well, it could be also that I'm doing a seminar there, and so I just happen to be in town. I'll extend my trip. But there's about three or four places around the country where there's a concentration of buses.
And where's the big bus concentration? I guess Nashville would probably be one.
Nashville is one. Florida. Florida is probably one of the biggest.
Wow.
Then there's some in Oregon and Texas.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah. So unfortunately, here in Colorado, I only know of one of them that's for sale. And it's not one that I necessarily like. So it's not easy to do shopping and go and take a look at them here.
Now, just for someone, let's say if someone's a maybe getting close to retirement or they want to just grab the camera and hit the road, what you're talking about, what's the cost to get into one of these deals?
Well, if you want to buy a brand new one, which I'm not doing, a Prevost conversion, it costs between $1.5 and $2 million. But I'm buying one that's going to be between 10 and 20 years old. And there you might end up spending between $150,000 and $350,000 for the whole setup.
But that's palatable. I mean, even a bus that old with, you know, with being a recreational deal,
yeah.
Those things are made to go millions of miles.
That's right. Most people put about 10,000 miles on them each year. So a 10-year-old bus is going to have about 100,000 miles.
Not even broken in.
Well, almost literally. I mean, that's the bus shell itself is designed for commercial use. And so it's designed literally to go for millions of miles, and a normal commercial bus might end up getting 200,000, 250,000 miles every year.
Wow.
So, yeah, these will be low mileage compared to what they're designed for.
Hey, let's talk about this new gig real quick. Of course, we know you're doing Photoshop World in a couple weeks in Boston, but you got this new thing called Better Photo Summit. Tell us about that real quick. We got about a minute left.
Well, I've been teaching online classes at this place called betterphoto.com, and they're going to have all their instructors that usually teach these online classes, they're all going to get together for a live event. And that's coming up in Seattle. It's September 10th and 11th. So what I'll be doing is speaking at Photoshop World. In the last day of Photoshop World, I jump on a plane, head to Seattle, and I'll be on stage the next day at this Better Photo Summit. So I'm going to have a session there about how to use the new features in CS2, as well as being on some panels that are there. But it should be interesting. It's more photography-focused.
That's great. I might actually have to make it myself. It sounds like a cool deal. Now if I can figure out if I can do the radio show live remote from there on Saturday with a phone jack somewhere, maybe I'll have to show up.
Hey, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Hey, Ben, tell everybody how to get a hold of you, what you're up to, the books, Digital Mastery. How do they get a hold of Ben Wilmore?
Well, two websites. The first one is digitalmastery.com. That's my corporate website where you find out all about products, seminars, all that kind of stuff. If you want to spend money, you go there.
Yep.
If instead you want to find out about just what I'm thinking about and all that, you look at whereisben.com. That's where I put in a daily entry about whatever's on my mind.
Cool. Thanks. That was Ben Wilmore, my buddy, the Photoshop guru, photography king. Check it out, whereisben.com. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen online tonight or the David Lawrence Show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Macintosh for the new millennium.
This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now at 800-490-0058. Or email us
at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by OSX FAQ. If you want the coolest place for Mac OS X tips, tricks, Unix, you name it, great forums, tons of information, check it out, osxfaq.com.
So we're having a gummy candy party.
We are. I'm getting all
we have the cola bottles and the gummy bears. And I just had an idea while right before we came back
gummy
from the break.
iPods.
I was just going to say, you know how Apple sells all the little accessories and stuff? Why don't they license somebody to manufacture Apple candy? It could be like a mixed bag. They could have the Apple logo, the little Apple. They could have little iPods. They could have little PowerBooks. And of course, because they're Apple, they'd sell for twice as much as any other gummy candy, but right. they'd look really cool. And you could just hang them up in the front of the register at the Apple stores. Mm-hmm. So whoever's listening, man, make the Apple candy. And they could be apple
or like
flavored.
Those, or like apple mints, too. Like everybody has the mints. Like at the,
and it could be apple-shaped.
Yeah. And go with that thing that you had earlier this year, eye candy.
That's right.
That'd be kind of cool. Yeah. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, think it'd be fun. Eye candy. They should do it. I'm a big fan.
So I want to go back to something from Ben Wilmore's interview. You would actually do that, wouldn't you, Scott?
What? Live in a bus?
If you had your way. You'd
I'd
live
buy
in a bus,
one tomorrow.
Wouldn't you?
I would. I swear. I'm not kidding you, dude.
See, because that whole idea, to me, that personally freaks me out, living in a bus.
Why?
Because you have no... Because your home moves. Where's your stability?
At the same time, you're always home. You see, my only thing is if I lived in a bus and was driving around the country, I'd feel compelled to solve crimes as I was going. I want to be like,
sort of like Angela Lansbury or something.
Well, no, she didn't live in a bus. But yeah, that kind of like Highway to Heaven, maybe not solve crimes, so maybe help people that are in trouble or, you know.
Because we know Michael Landon was so successful with that.
He did very well for a number of years.
Till he died.
That's going to happen at some point, you know, whether I live in a bus or not. Just random.
Yeah, but you're more likely to get in a car accident if you're always in the car.
No, but that's true. No, think about it, okay? Think about this, okay? You're stuck in one place,
yeah.
Wherever,
San Francisco, say.
Yeah, you were in the city. Yeah. San
Except there's no place to park your bus in San Francisco,
no,
so
I don't
there's
care
another
about
problem.
That.
That's
Let's
true.
Say I want to go, and these buses, you know, they have these satellite dishes that get DirecTV and high speed internet
right.
on the bus. It's like a little dome. It's like truckers use. Right,
right. right.
Dude, I could drive to Stinson Beach and park on the beach for a couple of weeks and just hang out on the beach, pop open the canopy, pull out a table, sit there with a PowerBook, wireless, do my work right there. Recording studio on the bus. I don't like it here anymore. Yeah, I'm going to go to Tahoe for a couple of weeks. Cool.
I want to know.
I want to go to the Grand Canyon.
What cool. do you do about potable water?
What's that?
What do you do about water?
Water
like, oh,
has
yeah,
like about a 250, 300 gallon storage tank for two people. That's enough water, including shower and everything, for about 2 weeks.
I want to know if your girlfriend would still date you if you really lived in a bus.
Yeah.
Probably.
Would she hop on the bus with you and go around the country solving crimes together?
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
I think it'd just be cool. I mean, look at all these old cats that are retired that cruise around in motorhomes, dude, and they have such fun.
It's a motorhome.
And if
now,
you could time
not,
it for all
bus.
These cool conferences you could go to, let's say you go to CES for a week.
Yeah.
Dude, it'd save you $1,500 in a hotel room.
That's true.
Okay?
But again, you do
could
have
park it right there in front of the convention center, and it could be like your. And then if you did the bus deal right, you could have recording gear in there and video stuff. You could do interviews out of the bus, barbecues. I think it'd just be a technology. It'd be cool.
If I had to choose between living in a bus and eating apple candy, I think I got to go for the candy, man.
I want the bus, man.
All right.
I want the new $2 million MCI, though.
Hey, thanks to our guests today.
We did. We had some great guests today. We had, of course, Ken Ray doing the news, Philip Hodges doing the digital production buzz, the Photoshop guru Colin Smith, Matt Fedoroff from the Vail School District talking about the rollout of all their Apple technology. Ken had a great interview with the guys from Sexaholic. And, of course, the master of digital imaging, Ben Wilmore, was on.
And I think that's Sexahol, not Sexaholic. But
Sexahol, Sexaholic.
Whatever.
You know, it's all
Star
good,
Wars
dude.
Underwear.
Star Wars underwear. It's just great stuff. You've been listening to the Inside Mac radio program. For more information, go to InsideMacRadio.com. All our sponsors, Micromac, DVD, XDV, Techno Solutions, you name it. All these cats, check them out, InsideMacRadio.com.